Current events, the year of our Lord, 2009. In biblical numerics, what could we gain from that? The fact that 1,000 is always not spiritual completeness, but divine completeness, as well as the glory of God or the glory to God. Double that gives us a two witness. That's 2,000 years and two witnesses of divine completeness. And 9, of course, is the last single digit. And in numerics and in our Father's Word, it means judgment. So when you start putting divine completion and judgment all in one number, that gets very interesting. We need to take a look at it, especially with the current events that are transpiring even at this time. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Minor Prophets and Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. Let's determine what the great sign is that lets you know that the one world system is coming into being. The sign that must transpire before you know that came to pass. What is that situation? And Zechariah chapter 8, verse 22, and it reads, "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem." Where? In Jerusalem. "And to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Now, what is this word men here? It's important. It's very important. It's not Adam, which means one of the tribes. It's Enosh. So probably these 10 men are the 10, not earthly kings, but kings that the false one brings with him, as we have studied many times in the great book of Revelation. This event must come to pass before that end can transpire. Continue reading right on into the next chapter, 9, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrakah and Damascus," that's Syria, okay, "shall be the rest thereof when the eyes of man," and here we have Adam, "as of all the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord." In other words, there's a time coming people are going to be so confused that they're going to seek. Problem is, many of them are going to be looking at the wrong Lord. Okay. "And Hamath," now this is the father of the house of Rechab, which is to say the Kenites, or the sons of Cain, "also shall border thereby." Tyrus, that's Satan's stronghold. "And Zidon," that's the little fishing town, the word means fishery in the Hebrew tongue, "though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets." The Kenites have always been bad about this. This is why they controlled the ships of Tarshish. Verse 4, listen carefully. "Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire." Why? Because our Father is a consuming fire. Again, remember, judgment. And our Father is the one that brings judgment forth. Ashkelon, you've heard this sound in the news quite a bit this week, shall see it. And Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed, and the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. We have quite a bit of action going on there right at this time, and you want to pay close attention, very close attention, because this is not an accident that fire would come upon Gaza. That's not all that's going to happen there. Verse 6. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. This is a mongrel. Okay. He's going to dwell there. Okay. It won't be the only place. Okay. It is prophecy. It comes to pass as it is written. This, of course, will be a type, ultimately, which will be the false Christ. But he also has false leaders. I want you to remember what happened here at Ekron, at Gaza, at Ashkelon. This is where Philip was taken. He said, go to Gaza. And there he met an Ethiopian. And he said, he was trying to read the word. And he said, how can I read it if I don't have a teacher? And Philip says, I'm your man. Okay. God told him to say that. Okay. Something like that. And he taught him. But then what did Philip have? He had four virgin daughters that were raised right in this area that all this is happening. Never left there. Up and down that coast. You can read of that in Acts. What is it? The great book of Acts with Philip. I believe it's chapter 8 in the great book of Acts. Verse 7. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. You know what Jebusite is? Jebusites form Jebus, which was the original name of Jerusalem. Still there. Touch of heathenism. And here we have the workings of Almighty God working within this. Do you know what kind of destruction God is talking about here? Against the enemy, not to those that love him, not to the innocents that pray to him, not those that follow him. I don't care who they are. If they love him and they follow him, they can be right in the middle of the fire and never be scorched when it comes to God's cleansing. Okay. And that's going to happen. Because we're approaching the time of judgment. And we only have one judge. It's not you. It's Almighty God. And he does the judging. He has seen the people overrode with false teachings, false leadership, people in office that shouldn't be there, and as it is written in the great book of Isaiah, it's like having children in power. That's the way they think, like as little children instead of sincere adults taking care of the people. You don't have to look very far to see that today. Okay? Verse 8, and I will encamp about mine house because of the army and because of him that passeth by and because of him that returneth. Him that returneth from where? Out of the pit. Okay. That's the Antichrist. And no oppressor shall pass through them anymore, for now have I seen with mine eyes. Do you think that's come to pass yet? It hasn't. Okay. When God gets ready to turn the damper, it's going down. And you want to be in the right place, that is to say, in your heart, mind, and soul, serving him. It doesn't matter where you are. Anywhere in this planet, you're in good shape because he's with you and he protects his own. Now, the next verse is the first advent. The next verse after that is the second advent, which is yet future. But it's important that you understand what happens on those advents. What happens at the first advent? Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. That was his first event. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. And that was his first entrance into Jerusalem, the first advent. He came to bring salvation. And as it is written in Isaiah chapter 61, that first part of that verse of salvation was fulfilled. But what was the second part of it? He was also, he of vengeance belongeth to him. Now, the second advent we read in verse 10. Yeah, we're in the Old Testament, but it even talks about the second advent. Listen to it. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. He's coming back this time not as a babe to be crucified, but he's coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he has a rod of iron, that's to say, a shepherd's staff of iron. And he will rule that righteously. For those that follow him, he loves you. Those that are in his way, you're in trouble. Okay. You're in big trouble. You need to follow him, love him, and allow him to lead. He's the judge. And all things were placed under his feet. And, you know, that's the one to follow, not the fake. And so many in this generation are so biblically illiterate that they don't understand. Antichrist comes at the sixth trump, the true Christ at the seventh. Most children can count. Why is it that adults can't? To know and understand. Because some one sin of Christ, they say, yeah, I'd be a Christian preacher. We're going to fly out of here. You don't even have to know God's word. You're going to be gone. That is poison. It is absolutely poison. Rather than studying God's word, don't you ever listen to a man that will tell you you don't have to understand the word of God. You're allowing a man to come between you and God. And, you know, I question someone's sanity or common sense that would allow this man or any man to come between them and your loving Heavenly Father. You need to follow him in the Word, and he watches out for you. Did you understand what he said? I'm camping here. We come to a place that we're far enough in it. I'm staying. I'm watching. And I'm going to take action. That's his word. That is his promise. And it's going to happen that way. You know why? It's written. And he is that judge. Now, go with me to the great book of Psalms. I want to go to chapter 8-7. I want to go to chapter 7. Nine, the number of judgment. When we look right into our Father's heart and mind, we know he always judges righteously. You're always going to get what you got coming to you. I hope it's all good. Because if you haven't repented for it, you're going to collect that too. Okay. Chapter 7, the great book of Psalms, verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Integrity is to have the common sense to think and understand the simplicity of Christ's teachings. You know, every once in a while you'll get a joker who'll come along and say, well, you all have studied along in the Scriptures and now you have been delivered. I'm going to take you into the depth of the Word. But they never quite use the word to do that, you know. They have other little things, you know, like flipping coins or reading tea leaves or buffalo chips or, you know. You never know, okay, what they get off into. Might as well, okay. But Christ didn't intend to make things complicated for his children. And when somebody comes off with a bunch of malarkey that doesn't quite reach from 1 to 4, You know, you got two and three in between there. Make it reach. If it doesn't, turn it off. Okay? Because you have a false teacher. You know, that's the first thing that Jesus warned us about when he gave us the seven seals so that you could understand the book of Revelation in Mark 13. Very first thing, he said, don't let some man deceive you because many will come in my name. Meaning, there's a bunch of them going to claim to be Christian preachers. But they never quite get around to teaching God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, whereby that you can pick up the subject. You know, you can take one verse and put most any subject or object or article you wish to it. But hopefully it's what God wished to put to it. Okay. So that you have the simplicity in which Christ taught. So, there you have it. Our Father, He is that judge. He is that one. And so it is. Father is, and He does judge us in that way. Verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. He tries your mind, not something else. It's what you're thinking. That's what's important. It's what you're thinking, what you think of Him. Verse 10, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. There is no other salvation. He's the judge, and when you do it His way, you're not on quicksand by any means. You're on safe footing, and our Father takes care of His own. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. I don't want you to read over that. He's angry with the wicked every day. They don't get away with anything. And then, you know, the poor little rascals will say, I just never know why God won't bless me. You know, well, just take inventory. I mean, He's the judge, and He's not. Our Father is very sharp. You're not going to con Him. And if you have wicked thoughts, you need to get them cleaned out. You need to flush the locker, okay? You all know what it is when you flush something. It's gone, okay? You need to get rid of that stuff and stay in the Word. Verse 12, if He turn not, or you might even say, if they won't repent, if they repent not, He will whet His sword, He hath bent His bow, and made it ready. If they don't repent, they don't come around, Father's going to correct. Okay. Well, why? Well, because He loves you. He loves His children. Even the wicked, He straightens them out. He gets their attention. He hath also prepared for Him the instruments of death. He ordaineth, that's to say, He prearranges His arrows against the persecutors. God knows who persecutes His children. God knows who comes against the true work of Almighty God. And do you know what these instruments of death are? Have you ever read Matthew chapter 10, verses 23 through 28? What does it say? It said, don't worry about those that can kill your flesh body. But you better worry about Him that has the choice of the second death, which is to say, can not only kill your flesh body, but cause your soul to perish. Go to hell, in other words. So, when our Father sends someone to death, it's not just a thing of the flesh. Okay. 14, behold, He travaileth with iniquity. He fights it, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which He made. In other words, they trip themselves up and fall, and they get caught in their own trap. Okay. And do you know something? You might say, well, explain just exactly what that means. Well, if you have a false teacher that comes along, like I was talking about a moment ago, and said, you don't have to study God's Word, you're going to be gone, guess what that trap sets? It sets a trap to worship the false Christ. And guess who's going to get caught in it first? The so-called preacher. He's the first one that'll step into it. By his own mouth, he condemns himself by not sticking with the Word of God. Verse 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. Pate is a Hebrew word that means the flat part of your head. A lot of you have a flat place up there. Okay, well, that's what it is. It's your pate. Okay. Verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And you should, because he's a wonderful, wonderful Father. He's always fair. That's what righteous is, because he's always right. And he doesn't play guessing games to wonder, well, did they offend that little one? He saw it. He knows it. He observes it. And he always takes care of his own. He is that judge. Let's continue right on into the next chapter. Chapter 8. Listen carefully. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. In other words, because it commemorated safe dwelling after deliverance, the earth is fantastic, okay? But also he controls the heavens. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou foreordained, that's to say appointed strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And you know, of course, what babe this really has most reference to, David writing, when that lad had the whole army of Israel was treed because of one giant. And that giant, when he walked, it frightened the warriors of Israel. Old David, he had been out by himself tending sheep. He was excellent with a slingshot. He had killed lions. He wasn't afraid. He knew he could take him. Okay. So he asked to do it. He picked up 5 stones. He crossed the creek. And the old giant was really upset that they sent such a little one. And the little one, out of his mouth that day, it's God that sent me. And he's going to deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to cut your head off. And he did. Okay. So out of the mouth of that little one came the truth. Why? Because he declared God, that God protects his own. So David was a good example for us, that if someone slights you, all you have to do is tell the Father about it. Always protect yourself. Don't be a wimp and not take care of business, but at the same time, make sure Father knows about it. And that'll take care of business just right real good, okay? Our Father loves it. Verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, you ever looked up at them at night? The work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, you established them. You placed them there. And I marvel at the strength of our Father and his creative ability. And he placed them there for signs and for seasons. Let me ask you, do you think he'll be able to handle the job of judging? I think so. I think he'll handle it real nicely. Okay. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What would you care about a little old man and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And there the angels being the Elohim. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, and they are. That's why you can count on it. Enjoy the ride, friends. We've got the victory. Doesn't matter what happens in this world, we have the victory. God protects his own. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, they were placed there. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And so it is that our Father reigns supreme. That our Father is that judge. And do you know something? There are many things that happen that guarantees that Father's watching. Because there's just certain things he won't allow. Especially when it comes to our nation or the nations of the free world. He takes care of business, okay? He takes care of how things go down. He has made promises. All you have to do is remind him of them. And he says, let's talk about it. Okay. Again, I'm quoting one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 43, verse 26. Okay. That's God prodding you, saying, hey, you know, I've made some promises, but you're going to have to remind me of them. And then we'll talk about it so that I can justify you. Okay. But that's the way you get justified. There's no excuse for someone not having that walk with our Father and having that justification. You've got to talk. He's your Father. You've got to let him know. You've got to claim it. And he's a loving Father. He loves to give. But you've got to do your part. Otherwise, he cannot trust you until you show that you can stick with him. Fortunately, as God's elect, they proved that he could trust them in the first earth age. But then there's time marches on. Then many more come to that camp and how fantastic it is. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, and this is a prophecy, of course, that is written to earth. Chapter 15 is kind of written to heaven, okay? So pick it up with verse 7, if you would. That's why I wanted to come here. This angel was saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. You want to worship him. You want to love him. You want to communicate with him. You know, in a man's life, 90%, 95% of his troubles are because he will not communicate. All he would have had to have done with his little woman, if he would have just sat down and communicated why he did what, when, and where, even if he was wrong, if he had communicated, she would probably understand. And they'd still be together. You've got to communicate. And you have to communicate with Almighty God. Okay. Communication is the name of the game. People have to know what you're thinking and why you're acting. In most of life, there are certain parts of our life that are secure within ourselves. If a person keeps over about 15% secure, that is, they never tell anybody, then that's about normal. But if you go over that, you probably have a problem. You probably have a little bit of a problem that could even be mental to a degree of not sharing or not trusting in someone. Okay. 15%? That's okay. You go over that, you tell Mama. Okay. Tell Mama, she'll understand. She may kick you out a while, but she'll understand. I'm jesting now, okay? Communicate, communicate, communicate. Verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. What is Babel? It's confusion. Is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, following the false Christ, okay, false religions. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same, verse 10, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, you know, that is bad. But what it means is, that's the cup that Jesus wanted to be spared whenever he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't to get out of crucifixion. So he didn't have to pour that cup of indignation out. Father, is there another way we can reach these people? Because it's going to hurt. But it might wake them up. It just might bring some of them around. That's what Father's intentions are. I know it sounds severe, but there are some people you have to get pretty tough with. Okay. Many of you have heard me do it on television with a letter that might have been sent in. And I tell somebody, you get a hold of your bootstraps, pull yourself up, and you act like a man. Okay. You know, and usually I'll get a letter within 2 weeks saying thank you. I did that to one guy one time, and he said that his wife wanted to study the Bible, and he wanted to do it another way. And I said, you know, your wife is probably right, and you're just as wrong as you can be if you don't take chapter by chapter and verse by verse. They showed up in about a week, and that guy was that far across his shoulders. I mean, he was a bigot, you know. And I jumped on his case pretty good, and he hugged me and said, thank you. I said, thank you, Father. But communicate, you know, communicate, communicate, okay. So Father must correct. Why? Because he loves them. This is where a lot of people, like your enemy, well, you're supposed to love your enemy. Well, that's true. But you may have to beat the daylights out of him to get him to adjust his attitude to come around, okay? That's true love, okay? If you have an enemy and you love him and let him go to hell, what kind of love was that? Okay. If you have an enemy and you love him and you take the two before to him and you straighten his case out, then he might, that's love, okay? I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Tough love is, it is just that, it's tough. And it takes a big man or a woman to do it, because it always hurts them more than it does the person. But that's what our Father is doing here, is getting their attention, whereby, who knows, maybe they'll come around, 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's how you do it. And I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Your works is all that follow you. That's all you can take with you to heaven. Now, judgment begins. Pretty soon there, we're not going to cover that part, because I have another place I want to go in closing. But he says, you get out the sickle, and you put her in there, and you reap. That's judgment, my friend. And you know that the blood ran in the street all the way up to the horses' bridles. Okay? Which means there was a whole lot of correction took place. Why? Because God loves them. And what a Bible study was had there. Okay. Incidentally, you don't gather grapes with a swather, okay? And that's just not a sickle, okay? You just don't do that. That kind of bloody up the grapes. And anyway, our Father is the judge. He goes on into the 15th chapter, and he talks to those that didn't receive the mark. That's those, you know what receiving his mark means? That means being fooled by him. That's to say the false Christ. That stay true to teaching the word. And they're singing a song. And that song, this is those, they're on their way to heaven, so to speak, which is right here on earth. But these are the words they sing as the song of Moses. And that's such a precious song. Because this same old message we've talked about here today, judgment, is in that song of Moses. So you all know where the song of Moses is. It's Deuteronomy 32. All right? Many of you have it memorized, but we're going there anyway because I'm going to check you out. Okay? Find out here. You all know how he treated his children as the apple of his eye. I want to skip all the way to the 16th verse for the sake of time because you're all familiar with it. But this is God talking to those that love him and those that don't. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. God's jealous. You go to worship in the false Christ when God's the one that created you. He gave you all these goodies to live in today, this earth. And you go not even studying, reading his letter and following somebody else, he gets upset. They sacrificed unto devils, even the devil, if you would, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock, uppercase, that means our rock, which is Christ, that begat thee, or thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And turned away from Almighty God to listen to a bunch of jokers, okay? And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. He doesn't like it. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward, that's perverse, generation, children in whom is no faith. This is what Christ asked. I wonder what I really want to find when I return, is that people still have faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, that's emptiness, nonsense. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Boy, he can do it too. There are some things that are just pretty hard to understand and take. But our Father moves nations, okay? For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That's getting rid of the rudiments. That's to say the evil stuff, not the good. I will heap mischief upon them, and I will spin mine arrows upon them. You notice he didn't say, I'll have it done. He said, I will do it. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat. I'm going to put a permanent fever on them. It's called losing your immunity system. And with bitter destruction, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poisons of serpents of the dust. False teachings. You're supposed to be able to stand up and the old serpent, the devil, can't even bite you with his lies because you're too intelligent. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. Many people are going to be deceived in this end generation. I said, I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. And you know something? You might say, well, how could he do that? Well, it's really pretty easy. You go out on the streets today and ask people who they are. Where did you come from? What is your relation to Almighty God? And not even be able to trace their people. Kind of sad. In other words, this has come to pass in a lot of cases. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this. In other words, take over. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Boy, look around you today. How many of you get upset when you hear the news for the way things go sometimes? Not all of it, but some of it. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, they better. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord has shut them up? Do you know something? When you are with the Father, He gives you power over all your enemies, if you believe it and if you have the faith. You can move nations. You can do many things that many would not think you could do. I don't care what you want to build. If it's for the Father, He will give you the brick, but you've got to put out the sweat. Okay? You've got to do the work. And you've got to be loyal to Him if you want His blessings. For their rock, you notice it's lowercase, not our rock, is not as our rock, uppercase, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is as the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Look around you today. I mean, we have laws trying to be passed, same-sex marriage. And a whole state. And a whole nation. And it is really kind of desperate when you think of how far down some people have gone. And I remember seeing at a demonstration where a little old lady, bless her heart, was carrying this cross. And that bunch of demons surrounded her, and the down went the cross, and oh, I wish I could have been there. I wish I'd had a squad of Marines and had been there. I really do. But we're in it, friends. And Sodom and Gomorrah has just started. But Father's not going to let it go too much farther. You can count on that. Their vine is the poison of dragons and the cruel demon of us. Their mouths just open up, and that falseness misleads people. It hurts them, causes them to be hurt. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Haven't I warned you this would happen? Have you listened? That's the question. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste, and it will. 9. Number of judgment. For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants when He seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up and left. That's why, even though your power is gone, you want to know you have His power behind you. You got to call on it. You know, don't ever be bashful about asking Him for help. If you've got to do something and you feel you're not quite up to it, ask Him to give you the strength in Christ's name and get to it. Okay? Get it done. Talk to Him always. Communicate. And He shall say, where are their gods, lowercase? Their rock, lowercase, and whom they trusted. Let them heal you. You let that false teaching take you to heaven and give you eternal life. Don't count on it, my friend. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings, let them rise up and help you and be your protection. You tithe all your life to that outfit and they're flying away and you're still left here, woke up at the last minute. But you supported them. Let them help you. They can't do it. Only your Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. What a Father we have. See now that I, emphatic, okay, even I am He. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. That's eternal. If I, Father speaking, whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies. You can get your clock set for it. And will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, for the beginnings of revenges upon the enemy. But you know what you can do? Verse 43, don't forget it. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. That's important, and it lets you know when Al Gore says this land is going to burn up. God's not going to let it. He's going to be merciful to this land. It's amazing how people start stories like, Dear Al, and we lost 18 or plus to avalanches this past week. So it makes you wonder, where is his global warming? You know, I'm sure some of those could have enjoyed some of it. Anyway, there you have it. Father is judge. Okay. And he's in control. You can count on it. Our Father knows and how he loves us. Let's go to his throne. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you. Father, bless all these and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name.